Welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Kit Radio on a wintry January Thursday. Welcome, everybody. Many thanks, as always, to our fantastic Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Wow, the Kit Radio sports schedule jam-packed. This is what we expect this time of year. It's what we've got. Tomorrow night, high school hoops is... First of all, we're going to throw out a little disclaimer and a little correction because the original schedules had this thing inverted. But tomorrow night, we are going to be in Atchison at Marhamon Academy. It'll be Valley Falls and MHMA tomorrow night on K-Radio out of the NEKL. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens come back home after a two-game road swing, and it'll be Graceland coming into the Nolan Gymnasium, 2 and 4 o'clock for the K-Radio broadcast. Next week for high schools, it will be tournament week, and we'll be, as they get the schedules put together, as of today, they still didn't have them done, so as soon as they come together, we will get with you and let you know which exact teams, games, times we'll be covering, but we're going to have games all week long from high school tournament week, and then next Wednesday, it'll be Benedictine at Peru State, 5:30 and 7:30, so tons of games coming up on Care Radio, and Gus, high school basketball has tons of games that have been and continue to be going on around the area, man. You got to love this as you get ready to move. And it's hard to believe with not a lot of schools that have been in session, a lot in and out and all of this. But the basketball season marches on, and we are almost to that third break as tournament week's next week.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of here as we're already to the middle of January, and I'm going to tell you, in what, about 6 weeks, you're going to be finishing up the regular season and starting to look at sub-state. You know, as Coach Moody would tell us, we're 2 weeks away from moving month. It's upon us. So it's kind of crazy. You know, lots of different tournaments going on in the area, and yeah, I always enjoy next week and the following week, really, because like the next 2 weeks, you're going to end up with different tournaments. Some weeks of girls, and then usually the following week is boys, or flip it.
Yeah, and by the way, there are going to be some games being played tonight as some of the schools around the area are kind of catching up, like Hiawatha is going to be at Sabetha tonight, but... And, of course, wrestling is going on tonight. Jeff West at Wellsville, Sabetha at Marysville. There's a little triangular there. But Friday night, we're going to have another full slate of games. And, gosh, of course, again, Marhill Mount Academy, not at Valley Falls, okay? It'll be in Atchison at the MHMA gym. Other games going on around the conference, you know, you're going to have Osceola down at Pleasant Ridge. Jackson Heights is going to travel to Winchester for Jefferson County North. Let me move that off my screen. And you're also going to have Horton traveling to ACCHS in the NEKL.
Next week, you talked a little bit about that there's going to be tournament basketball next week. Atchison going to travel to Tonganoxie, and that's one of maybe the premier-type tournaments around this area.
No question about it. Atchison's going to play a game Friday night, of course, at home with Washington, and then pack up their knapsack and play right away again on Monday. They've just been down to Tonganoxie, okay? So they know the gym. They know the trim. They know the facility. They're going to be ready to go because they played really well down there the first time they were down there, and now they're going to be down in the 65th. I remember that first tournament, my gosh, when I was a kid, but... Well, almost the first tournament, but 65th annual Tonganoxie Invitational, and Atchison is going to be in action in day one, and they're going to be with Christ Prep. Now, the good thing now for Tonganoxie is they will be able to run with two gyms side by side. They'll be running simultaneous games down there.
Yeah, Atchison going into that tournament, they are going to be the one seed. They're going to play Christ Prep in that first game, and is it? It's an early game, right?
Like, 3 o'clock yeah. Monday afternoon. Good news for the players. They get out early. Maybe, like, have a little lunch and go on down to the game.
Now, okay, so if you're playing at 3 o'clock and that's kind of still during the school hours, you have to worry about hearing the bell versus a buzzer.
Absolutely. You know those bells are going off.
Right. You know, we're headed to eighth hour and all of a sudden that bell goes off and we're,
eight.
You know.
We only had seven back in the old days. Clocks were smaller.
Yeah, well.
and Atchison, Christ Prep, and then after that, it'll be Schlegel, Wamego, followed by Bonner Springs, Tonganoxie, and then Eudora and Metro Academy.
Pretty good collection of teams right there.
Yeah. I mean, I like the geographic spread. I like, you know, that you reach out as far as, you know, Wamego.
Go all the way to Western Kansas and get Wamego.
You go to Kansas City area, pulling in, you know, Schlegel, and you go down on K-10 and picking up Eudora. And then, you know, you got a nice mix of the old Huron League a little bit in there, you know, with Bonner Springs and... So, yeah.
And the school sizes kind of work, mm-hmm. right? So,
And you say that, yet I'd be very candid to tell you, I don't know anything about Christ Prep Metro Academy.
Well, I don't think, I feel like Christ Prep is a small school. So, they might not, but, you know, Schlegel, Wamego, Bonner, Tongi, Eudora. So, you're going to have some of those. The other one that just got released today, there was another bracket, the Oskaloosa Boys Tournament. And so that is going to start next week.
Yeah, and of course we are going to be covering a ton of games from this tournament, and it's going to be, again, you're going to have a lot of NEKLs, you're going to have a lot of Big Sevens. For example, and they're playing them in the junior high and the high school gyms at Oskaloosa, which are just right across the parking lot, so it's pretty nice, and the junior high gym is really, really a nice gym. You're going to have... On the first night, on the 16th, you'll have Jefferson County North and St. Mary's Academy. JCN is going to be the number one seed in that half of the bracket.
St. Mary's Academy is different than St. Mary's, right?
I believe that is correct. Yes, St. Mary's Academy, which I think is in St. Mary's, but it is the academy school there. And then you're going to have Rossville and Oskaloosa at 7:45. Those are the games that are going on in the high school gym. Across the parking lot in the junior high gym, it'll be Perry LeCompton and ACCHS, and the second game will pit Valley Falls and Jeff West. And I love how they've done this. They did not put any teams from the same conference pitted against one another in round one.
Yeah, I mean, you easily could have, but I like how they've split that up. And now, of course, you can't avoid that going further,
right.
But set it up in round one to where everybody gets to see a new team right away. So that's kind of fun. Real quick, if you were kind of interested, looking at the, you start looking at, we're to that point where maybe we can dive into the, you're getting some standing started as sub-states are going to be, you know, sneaking up on us pretty shortly. Right now, if sub-states were to start, Atchison, undefeated. They are 6-0 right now. They are the top team in Class 4A in the East. The second place team right now is Fort Scott, who is 7-1. So a handful of teams have only one loss right now. Atchison, though, showing being undefeated. In the west half of the state, Abilene and Circle and Andale and McPherson are all undefeated. So there are four undefeated teams on the west side of the state right now. So, again, some interest there. Then you start looking at like Class 2A substate on the boys side. Can I tell you, I struggle a little bit thinking that some of these teams are 2A. So on the boys side in the JCN substate, Horton is the one seed, followed by JCN and Valley Falls. Morehill Mount Academy is with two losses. Then you've got Oskaloosa, Care Paravel, McLeod, then Pleasant Ridge and Riverside. So, kind of gives you a little bit of a feel. I know we're still a little early to start talking about substance.
Never too early.
Man, you're just right about there. Riverside and Morehill Mount Academy are on top of the girls' side as they're both undefeated. Then you've got JCN in the third spot with Pleasant Ridge, both with two losses. Then followed by Oskaloosa Valley Falls, Horton, Care Paravel at 1-6, and McLeod looking for their first win.
So there you have it. It's a busy, busy time. Again, check out the schedule. Find your teams. They are playing ball this Friday night, probably, if the weather doesn't go south. And then, of course, they're going to be right back at it for tournament week for the guys next week. And then after that, we're going to have tournament week for the ladies. And we'll be talking about those on our next Sports Look. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We've got tons more to talk about. Sports Look continues here on CARE. Back with you here on a chilly Thursday in January. Welcome back to Sports Look, everybody. Tom Couch, Gus Couch with me. And Gus, last night, the Benedict and Lady Ravens traveled down to Olathe. We were in at Mid-America conference ball game. The BC ladies leaped out in front in that game. I mean, I don't know if they'd played any better than they did, racing to an early 12-point lead. But here's the thing. On the road, particularly at Mid-America, a good team, well-coached team, can't kick your foot off the throttle. And Mid-America came back to nip Benedictine 73-62 in the ladies' game.
Yeah, the Lady Ravens came out and scored 21 points in the first quarter. But you start looking at it, the downfall really came coming out of the locker room after half, maybe struggling a little bit, got outscored 25-13 in that third quarter. And that spelled, you know, a tough night for the Lady Ravens there in Olathe. That's been a tough place at, you know, the Cook Center at Bell Family Arena to be able to win on Rocky Lamar Court. How many names can you get in there? I like dropping all of them.
Get them all. Get them all.
You know, but the Lady Ravens have struggled a little bit there over the years. Last night, though, Lauren Dubert, you talked about it, getting the start last night, she had a great game. 20 points, 4-4 from the free throw line, shooting 50% from the field, able to pull down three boards and have two assists last night. So, you know, a good night for her to get there in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and for Lauren, not only did she handle the ball well and just played really well, she shot so well. You say she had half of her shots, including 4 of 7 three-point shots, perfect at the free throw line. And kind of the downside to that is she was 4 of 7 at the three-point line. The rest of the team was 0-for from the three-point line last night. No one else could just get anything to drop. And when the lid's on that basket, I mean, it just seems like it's hard to pry it open.
Yeah, the Lady Ravens went 4 of 16 from behind the arc for, you know, 25%. But I think maybe the other number that jumps out at me, if Lauren's not shooting the three, your starters are not going to shoot the three. How about this? The Lady Ravens starting five shot 8 total threes last night. And Dubert shot 7 of them.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Raines is the only other starter to have attempted a three-pointer last night.
Yeah, and she didn't one up.
Yeah, not a bad thing one way or another, but I think for me it's just one of those interesting stats that you just kind of pull out of last night's game.
So for the Benedictine Lady Ravens, a tough night against a quality opponent. And, you know, if you look around the conference from last night, there were – you know, a full slate of games. And you had, of course, Grandview, no trouble with Park. They beat him by like 30 points. It was a huge win for Central Methodist over Penn. Culver Stockton held on to win at home over Missouri Valley by 4. It was a half dozen point win for Graceland at home with Baker. And Clark in a close one. They were back and forth with Mount Mercy, but finally the Pride win at 87-84 last night.
You start looking at the conference standings right now. Clark, still undefeated, 15-0. They are 11-0 in conference play. Grandview holding steady at 9-2. Now, all of a sudden, there's now been a little bit of separation between second and third, as Benedictine, dropping the last two games, has fallen to 8-4. They're now right there with Missouri Valley at 7-4. Then you've got kind of that middle of the pack, 5-loss, 6-loss teams that include Mount Mercy, Central Methodist, Peru, Graceland, Mid-America now getting up to that 5-6 mark. Then the lower portion is going to have Park, Culver Stockton, Penn, and Baker.
Yeah, and Saturday it continues to kind of work itself out. A couple of games at noon for the ladies at the heart is you're going to have Peru traveling over to Clark. Nobody wants to do that. Oh. Grandview is going to drop down to Missouri Valley, both noon games. And then the 2 o'clock ladies games, Mount Mercy and Central Methodist. Mid-America will travel up to William Penn. It'll be Park at Culver Stockton. And, of course, our Care Radio game Saturday, Benedictine at home. And they will have Graceland coming in.
Yeah, Graceland right now, they are 7-8 overall. They're 5-6 in the conference, so for the Lady Ravens, this is one of those get-right games.
It's,
you know,
huge.
Coming off a rough week, you know, where you've lost, you know, your last two.
Yeah, and we talk about this sometimes, you know, you lose one game. Well, one game is nothing. It's a loss. You lose two, and it's back-to-back. But you don't want to lose three. That's a streak.
Right.
And that's the last thing Benedictine needs, especially after the incredibly good, strong start that this team had put together. And you look at the talent out on the floor, and you see what they're capable of doing. And you saw that even in the first quarter last night. So you just got to put together four quarters like the first quarter last evening was.
But it also shows you what just like a bad week can do to you in this conference, right? Because last week here on Sports Look, The Lady Ravens were sitting at 8-2. They were tied with Grandview there for that second place spot. Two rough games all of a sudden drops you out of that second to third, but that now puts you four games out of first place. So, you know, I know that you still have 12 games left, but I'm going to tell you, Clark isn't losing four games in the next 12 nights.
And for Benedictine, okay, it's reality check time. I'm probably not going to be in the top two. Okay,
yeah.
But you know what you want to be? You want to be in the top four, okay? Because you want a home game or two in this postseason tournament.
Because here's where you're at. You at least have a tiebreaker over Grandview. You went to their place and won. They have to come back here. You have beat Missouri Valley over at their place. So both of those teams have to come here. Mount Mercy, the team who's only a game back, that's the rough one. You shouldn't have probably lost to Mount Mercy at their place. Like that's the one you're going to look back and say, I would like to have that game back. And how many times have we talked
about
that
game?
Every sport we talk about, there's always that one game that a coach says, man, I'd really like to have that one back. And maybe Saturday up at Cedar Rapids is going to be that game for the Lady Ravens. But, again, turn your sights. Don't really start looking at that first place. Just try to move up one spot to second and get some home games. So
there you have that. Hey, we got to do some more stuff, man. We got tons of sports to cover with you, and we'll be back talking more sports here on Care right after this. Benedict and guys, Gus, were on the road last night also, and for the BC men, man, it was a rough game against a Mid-America team that's extremely good. They're well coached. They've got some great talent. And talking to Coach Moody at the post game, you got two guys, let's be honest, you got two guys that are professionals. They're going to be playing in Europe next year. Okay. They are that good. And for Mid-America, it was an impressive win over the Ravens last night as BC drops that win 71-54. Mid-America 11-4, 9-2 in the conference. And, they are legitimate. They are legitimately really good.
Well, you've got conference reigning player of the week, Anthony Brown, who last week averaged 19 points and 12 rebounds a game. And for the Ravens, I really thought they did a nice job of kind of keeping him in check to an extent. I mean, he only got 14, so he was just a little off of his overall. You kept him down to 7 rebounds, but I'm going to tell you, he's just a gamer and a really good one. And so many times we talk about, see, I keep pulling this veil back and letting people in on what we talk about on the way to games. But so many times we talk about, can that player play for any other team in the conference? And with Anthony Brown, the answer is yes.
He doesn't play. He starts for every team.
Yes.
No question.
And last night, you talk about Ed Wright. He's a guy who's been coming on over the last few weeks. He goes out, scores 26 points on 11 of 17 shooting. So had a very efficient night, 5 rebounds, 4 of 8 from behind the arc, and didn't attempt a free throw all night.
Here's the thing. You look at the numbers, and in this game, the numbers tell a lot of stories. Both teams shot 56 times. Ravens hit 20 of them. Mid-America hit 28. Okay, and if you figure those were twos, all right, there's 16 points, and you know you lose the game by 17. So there's kind of the difference. You're not hitting as many shots as your opponent is. Ravens are 4 of 19 from outside. They were 10 of 16 ultimately at the free throw line. But Benedictine, only 13 turnovers. A livable number. Mid-America turned it over more, 16 times. Mid-America took advantage of them and scored 20 points off Raven turnovers. Benedictine only scored 6 off Mid-America's turnovers.
Yeah, and for Mid-America, under Hepker, have you noticed that they're a little more of a shooting team?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whereas Rocky was a little more of a standard set offense, Hepker liked to shoot the ball back when he played, and his team, you know, last night attempted 25 three-pointers, only 11 free throws. And the way I look at free throws is that kind of tells me sometimes how aggressive a team really is, right? Higher free throws means that team's aggressive. They want to get to the rack, and they want to, you know, try to get fouled, hit those shots, and come to the free throw line. Hepker's team doesn't do that. They shoot free throws at a high percentage. They were 8 of 11 last night. But again, only 11 free throws in 40 minutes of college basketball is a really low number.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, the Ravens were led by, you talked about Wright leading Mid-America. Ravens were led, the only guy in double figures was Gino Corridori. But Gino, again, my big guy, I expect him to be shooting close shots and hit a high percentage, but he was 5 of 12, hit less than half of his shots, and that was including 0 for 3. He shot 3 threes last night and could not hit any of them and hit half of his free throws. Bryson LaRue, fantastic shooter. He had a great game a couple of games ago, 2 of 10 and 0 of 5 from 3.
That's a shooter, right? That's like, a shooter. I mean, in the sense of how many times do we see that? A player goes out. We saw it with Kennedy Nicholson a couple nights ago where she goes out and hits, what, like 7 threes?
Yep.
And then last night, I think she attempted 1.
Yep.
You know, and missed it. So that's just kind of one of those things that shooters kind of go through. So Bryson LaRue, we saw Braden Belt didn't shoot many threes. And I feel like when he's in the game, that's what you're asking him to do is shoot the three. He was 2 of 4 last night. Ravens, again, kind of the story of this season has been not getting enough points off the bench, right? Like, all your points are coming from your starters. Well, last night they had, what, 11 points off of the bench. Vigafa comes in. He gets 6. Larry Parker hits a 3. And Hagen Hilgendorf, in 13 minutes, gets 2 points, 2 rebounds.
Other games that went on around the conference last night, there were some close games last night. Mount Mercy beat Clark by 3 up in Dubuque. It was a 5-point win for Missouri Valley over Culver Stockton. That was a back-and-forth game throughout. Park came from behind to beat Grandview, 68-66. Central Methodist, man, they took the lid off their basket, 105-91 over William Penn. And it took overtime. But Baker was able to defeat Graceland, and that was a game of two top teams in the conference right there. That had to be a tremendous game. Going OT, you couldn't be surprised by that.
There were a lot of eyes on that game right around the conference.
And so for Benedictine, you have a Graceland team coming in Saturday on top of the conference, and they just come off a loss. You know they're not going to be happy.
Yeah, so you start looking at the conference standings. How about this? 4 teams now. All tied for the top with only 2 losses. Now, I know Baker's going to get the nod because they're 11-2, but again, you always talk about it. You can get the wins, but you can't make up the losses.
Can't take them away.
And so, Baker at 11-2. Central Methodist, Graceland, Mid-America are all 9-2. Draw the line there. There are your home games for the conference tournament, okay? Then you go to Missouri Valley. At 6-5, then you have Culver Stockton and Park, both at 5-6. Peru, Grandview, Mount Mercy at 4-7. Then you've got Penn, Benedictine, and Clark are your final 3 there. So, again, you're set up for a crazy finish. I mean, we're not even close to seeing the finish line, right? Another 12 games left.
Yeah, you're about halfway.
Season. But I think we said it weeks ago that nobody was going to finish the conference side on the guys undefeated, even though I think on the girls, I think Clark probably goes undefeated. I think on this guy's side, what, 4 losses, maybe still wins the conference? I mean, you've got 12 games left and 2 losses gets you still at the top. So, again, I think it's going to be an interesting finish to this conference season and some big names up there at the top.
Okay, one more interesting thing before we finish up this segment. In the Heart of America Athletic Conference was a huge announcement made today.
Yeah, and can I tell you, it caught me out of left field.
I never saw it coming. Frankly, never knew it was in the works, so they kept this thing pretty well under wraps. But, of course, you know, we're out here on an island and don't necessarily, you know, have a finger on the pulse of what goes on down on Grand Avenue in Kansas City downtown. But Heart of America Athletic Conference has named a new commissioner, Lori Thomas, who was there for, you know, about 10 years, 9 years. She pulled up stakes and has moved on, and Nick Rule is going to take over at the helm. And Nick Rule is the AD up at William Penn. Nice guy. He'll do a fine job.
Yeah, Nick is a guy who, you know, I mean, somewhat of a newcomer to the conference in the sense of Penn hasn't been in the conference, you know, all that long, maybe longer than we want to believe now. But yeah, good for him. I think he'll do a nice job as the conference commissioner, and it'll be, you know, good bumping into him at games over the next handful of years.
Yeah, hope that he shows up at a few of them, and I think he's going to be a visible, you know, kind of a guy to get out and, you know, and to do that stuff, which would be nice to see from the commissioner.
Oskaloosa, Iowa, Kansas City. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
You know, There's going to be a lot more options of things to do and keep you occupied in Kansas City. So good for Nick.
Yep. Congratulations to him. And we'll wish for the best for the Heart of America Athletic Conference under his guidance. We'll be back. Segment 4 coming up here on Care Radio. Good to have you along with us on Sports Look here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Gus, playoff time in the NFL, and a lot of teams have been looking forward to this for a long time. I think the Chiefs have been looking forward to the postseason maybe for the last 2 months already. Maybe that explains part of their demise, you know, during the last third perhaps of the season and the way they played. But it's going to be interesting to see as you got a half a dozen games coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Is there one game that you're excited about? Is there one game that you just look at the board and say, I would subscribe to a channel to get that game?
I'm looking to see Eagles-Bucks Monday, no. Rams-Lions, no. Steelers-Bills, no. Browns-Texans, no. Of course I'd want to see the Chiefs because that's how I am. And I've always liked to watch the Dolphins, you know, going all the way back to the 72 team. And I remember where I was sitting in 1971 when Gary Primian hit that long overtime field goal in the playoff game. So
he was a star of the DBL, right? Yeah. Because I think you're making up names again.
You don't remember Garo Yeprimian?
I do.
Yeah.
He's
a great one.
He
had less hair than I have, just by the way. And the one game that I would kind of be interested in is, you're going to laugh at me, Packers at Cowboys. And the only reason I think the Cowboys can win it is they're at home where they're undefeated. Because if it were in Lambeau, I think they'd lose.
Yeah, okay, so you start breaking down these games a little bit and looking at them. Browns-Texans is, I think, the one that interests me because I think C.J. Stroud has been fantastic all season, and if it weren't for, you know, the injury, I think he probably was going to be Rookie of the Year. Now I think it's probably Puka Nacua. But
did you make that name up?
I know, I'm telling you. They made up Puka Nacua when they ran it to the podium, and then he's going to turn out to be Rookie of the Year this year. But for me, I would love to see the Browns win this game because I would love nothing more than Flacco going back to Baltimore next week. And Flacco is a great story right now. I think he's fun. Chiefs at Dolphins, I mean, that should be a great game. It's going to be cold. The Dolphins historically haven't played well in the cold, but I think it should be a fun game. Steelers-Bills does absolutely nothing for me. Can I tell you, I think the Bills win this thing running away. They are a 10-point favorite, but I also am not going to be shocked if you tell me on Monday that the Steelers won because I could see Josh Allen having 5 turnovers and losing a game. Packers-Cowboys. If you're a Cowboys fan, don't you still have nightmares of Dez Bryant's no catch against the Packers, or maybe it was a catch and the NFL said it wasn't? So there's a whole lot going on there. Rams-Lions, though, I think is the one that you just sit there and you go, wow. The Lions finally make it back to the playoffs, right?
Yes, and after forever.
And now they have to play their former quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and a Rams team who I think has just quietly gotten better as the season has progressed. They've gotten healthier. I'm telling you, how rough would it be for Lions fans to finally get back to the playoffs, feel like you're in a good place, and then lose your former quarterback at home? That would just be devastating.
Yeah, a lot of great storylines in this game. Again, the Rams on a 4-game win streak. Matthew Stafford coming back home to play against his old team. He was a Lion, like, forever. And it's going to be a close game, but can't see the Lions losing it. It'll be a 3-point game.
I can't see the Lions winning it. I think it'll be, you know, Rams by 6.
Really?
Eagles at Bucks does absolutely nothing for me. It's the Monday night game. I probably would have, you know, I don't know. I would have made the Packers-Cowboys game the Monday night game because it has a little more, I think, intrigue with it. The Eagles are playing really bad right now, but I just don't think they can lose to Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, if I think that the Eagles can't lose, you should run to your preferred sports book and bet the other way because I'm sure I will be wrong on this, but man.
I can't see the Eagles winning it.
So
and
there
here's
you go.
The thing, and I love the Eagles. I want the Eagles to win this game. But I don't think there's any way they can. I mean, they beat the Bucks back in week 3, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Down in Tampa. no problem with them. But since then, man, they have just like fallen off the side of a hill. I mean, they've lost, what, 5 of the last 6? Their defense is, like, I don't even know where it's at. It's just AWOL. I don't know what's going on with it. And Baker Mayfield, I don't know. He's just lucky enough to maybe get a dub here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you're kind of talking about, you know, with the Eagles and some of the injuries they had sustained. Going back to that Dolphins-Chiefs game on Saturday evening, you know, I think they might be looking to you, the Dolphins, to sign you as an edge rusher. I mean,
I could do that.
You would bring down the median age of the room, okay?
Yeah, I would. They're all older than me.
Anyway, but yeah, I think that there are some great storylines here for week one.
Well, here's the thing with the Dolphins, okay? The reason that the Chiefs will beat them, again, in a close game, less than a touchdown, but the Chiefs will win this game is because two things. The weather's going to be brutally cold. I mean, it's going to be below zero at game time at Arrowhead. And not only did the Chiefs win in Germany, I kind of throw that out because that's just one of those weird games, but the Dolphins have won a lot of games. Who have they beaten? One team with a winning record is all they've beaten. They have not beaten any good teams, and it's not really their fault. They're in a horrible division. There are no good teams in it. And so, yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are as good as they think they are.
So, Tua.
Yeah.
In cold weather games. Okay. By cold weather, we're prefacing this as below 50 degrees.
Okay.
Okay.
Which for Miami is cold.
I think in college he played one game that was below 50. In high school he never did, of course, being in Hawaii.
Because he's in Bama, right?
Right.
Okay. So,
you know, and then playing in the Southeastern Conference, you're just not going to deal with that. He is 0-3 in games that are under 50 degrees. He's got 2 touchdown passes in 3 games, 4 interceptions in those 3 games. So, yeah, I mean, he struggles a little bit when it's cool out, let alone brutally cold. I just think that if the Dolphins are going to win this game, they're going to have to lean on their running game. I think they can do it because the Kansas City defense has been good all year, but it's been good against the pass, not so much against the rush. I do think, though, that this cold weather, the Dolphins are going to have a fumble. Kansas City wins this thing. Honestly, I'm going to go a little high. I think Kansas City wins this thing by 10. Wow. I think that the Dolphins maybe score one late to get it down to a 2-score game, but I think that Kansas City is going to have a nice little cushion because I also think going into this game, Patrick Mahomes is going to pare everything down, and unless you're Rasheed Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, or Travis Kelce, he doesn't care if you're on the field, right? Like the other targets, they're not going to be a thing. It's going to pare down to those guys. And, yeah, I think that it's going to be a different team in the playoffs as far as, you know, you're not going to see 10 completions to 7 receivers. You're going to see 10 completions to 2 guys, okay? I just think that's where it is.
Chiefs, so they're going to beat that -4.5. And what about the over-under 43.5? Can they break that? Can't imagine they can get to that.
I don't, because I don't expect the Dolphins to score much. I think that's where the problem is going to become.
So there you have that. Hey, first of all, before we talk about the fact that Oklahoma is going to go to Kansas, Kansas is licking its wounds after last night. What a great entrance into the Big 12.
Yeah, how about UCF getting a big home win? Kansas blows a, what, like 16-point lead in that ball game. It's one of those things where you sit back and you're like, man, that's difficult. Oklahoma, though, coming off of a tough loss the other day. Yeah, they lost last night as well to TCU, so both of these teams coming off losses and, you know, like to get some wins here in the early going of the season.
Top 10's had a rough week.
Yeah. Well, you know, talk about top 10 has had a rough week. Flipping over to women's basketball real quick. How about last night? The Kansas women at home knock off number 4 Baylor and hand Baylor their first loss of the season. 87-66.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't even close. So the Jayhawk women up in the number 4 ranked Baylor team last night. I think it's just going to be one of those years where the top teams, they're good teams, but I think they're going to be a lot like the Heart of America Athletic Conference on the guys' side, where you're going to have a few losses and still be the number one team in the country.
So, again, it'll be Oklahoma number 9 at number 3, Kansas, Saturday at 1 o'clock. And then K-State's going to play Saturday at 3. They're going to travel to T-Tech.
Yeah, Kansas State has been playing a little better as of lately. They are a team who is 12-3. They've made some games look difficult, but I think that, you know, Kansas State's in a good spot. Texas Tech, a good team right now. They are 13-2. That should be an excellent ball game on Saturday afternoon. What do we decide? A 3 o'clock game? Now, don't get me wrong, Kansas State fans, they're playing fun basketball. There's zero chance I'm going to be looking for that on TV on Saturday with that Browns-Texans game up against him.
By the way, a college football icon, Nick Saban, has decided to hang it up, and he is retiring from Alabama. And who's going to get that job now? It's pretty wide open. I will say that Dan Lanning says no.
Yeah, I saw that on the McAfee show today, that Lanning said, I've got a good gig up here at Oregon, and he does, right? You've got all that Nike money rolling into the facility. So for Lanning, he says, I'm not interested.
So who gets that gig?
I don't know. I mean, Sarkisian is a possibility, but my problem with Sarkisian is going from Texas to Alabama seems like a lateral move right now, especially being in the SEC. I don't know. I really just don't know. I think Lane Kiffin would just jump at the opportunity to leave Ole Miss and go to Alabama. I think you're going to see something like that, probably like a Lane Kiffin type deal. I mean, I also wouldn't be shocked if they just – I could see them going out and just scoring somebody that you're like, didn't even have that on my radar of a guy that they would go after.
Lance Leipold.
Lance would do it too because he should.
They throw a lot of money at him.
Dabo is one of those names they've kind of talked about, but I just don't think Dabo has changed with the college landscape right now. He doesn't go to the transfer portal enough. He doesn't use NIL to his, you know, back pocket. I don't know. I do think it'll be an interesting job to keep an eye on.
Talking about interesting job to keep an eye on, one last thing, Bill Belichick walks.
Wow. I mean, he's, was it 24 years, I think I saw, with the Patriots. He's been fantastic, won so many games. He's, you know, turned that place around. It's always tough when a coach that has been there that long leaves, and maybe in the situations that they did, because, again, having a couple down years has been rough. But, man, Belichick, an icon up there. You got to think maybe Vrabel, who got fired by the Titans a couple days ago, would maybe be a candidate for that job.
Okay, now I'm going to throw one thing at you before we get out of here. So Bill Belichick, I'm not so sure that he retired as he's just leaving
England. Yeah, no,
England.
He says that he plans on coaching next year.
I could see him following John Madden to the Raiders.
To the Raiders, maybe? I think it's more likely that he'll end up in – I know Washington's been the preferred spot that everybody says. I could see him maybe even going to Seattle, and because Pete Carroll is going to move to a front office job. I just expect him to go to the NFC. I don't expect him to stay on the AFC side.
Well, there you have it. Hey, huge schedule coming up here on Care Radio. It all begins tomorrow night. Valley Falls is at Marhill Mount Academy. You hear those games tomorrow here on Care Saturday afternoon. Graceland at Benedictine at 2-4. Next week is tournament week. We'll be at games all week long. And then next Wednesday, Benedictine at Peru State. We got to thank our fantastic sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Till we see you at the gym, for Gus Couts, Tom Couts. So long, everybody.